Peter Kearney was a songwriter. He wrote a song once called All the World is Sacred. And it began with the lyrics, "All the world is sacred in my eye. All the world is good. The world is holy. The world is holy. Hallelujah. Surely all the world is sacred in my eye." He emphasizes in this song the sacredness of the world and the earth because God created it. And he has a line in the song that says, "So be careful, sister, brother. Surely the world is sacred in my eye." In the gospel today, Jesus is teaching in his sacred space, the synagogue, in his hometown. And he too is interrupted. He's interrupted by a man as he's teaching with an unclean spirit. An unclean spirit that was thought of as a spirit of impurity, demon possession, or an evil spirit, or something that has affected the human soul and interrupted its life's breath. Not that the person couldn't physically breathe, but that they couldn't spiritually breathe or socially function without being under threat of that thing which continued to come for them. Regardless of how loud they screamed or how much they fought for their freedom, it is this sacred space where Jesus indeed finds this man crying out with questions for Jesus. And so he begins with this first question for Jesus. He says, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? And have you come to destroy us?" His second question. Now, that's an interesting second question because here these unclean spirits were destroying this man's life, but they were attempting to transfer their destructive nature onto Jesus, painting him as the violent one, and asking him what business that they have together. "I know who you are," they told him. "You're the Holy One of God." But clearly, the spirits tormenting this man didn't know who Jesus was. Jesus is the one who gives us life when we are suffering. Jesus is the one who offers freedom when we are oppressed. Jesus is the one who heals us when we are wounded and brokenhearted and hurting. He's the one who calls on us to love our enemies and to share our bread with the hungry. But this unclean spirit echoed a faulty theology that we have been taught to think about God when trouble and difficult times come. We think that God is trying to punish us, trying to destroy us. We think that our suffering is some reason because it's come to us because of something that we think that we did. Well, Jesus comes to let us know today, don't you ever let anybody convince you that God is trying to hurt you or punish you. When Jesus and when God show up, it is to help you. It is to love us. It is not to hurt us. And so Jesus claps back with a rebuke at such an assertion. A sign of his disapproval of the criticism. He tells the spirit to be quiet and to come out of the man. He convulses, it says, makes a loud cry, and he comes out of the man. And I come to tell you that if we are going to end the darkness plaguing our world, our sacred space, we must prepare for a period of convulsing and loud resistance before we free ourselves of the darkness and the evil around us. But it will happen. We saw it. We saw that convulsion and resistance in the insurrection in Washington, and the ongoing resistance to change. But we also have seen our world move through that kind of resistance and convulsing. There was a time in our world where segregation was something that we held on to. There were convulsions to hold on to and loud resistance. But we did it anyway. We stuck to our guns. There was a time in our world where women didn't have the right to vote and were considered second-class citizens. But we pushed and we endured those convulsions and we endured that resistance and we didn't give up and we gained the right of women to vote. And so we know that we may have to endure a little bit of convulsion, a little bit of resistance, but we also know that God has a plan. And so as we reflect in this gospel together today, the journey begins in a sacred place for Jesus and for the man in this gospel, in the sanctity of a religious space. This week, many of us listened to President Biden when he was inaugurated, and he called on us as a nation to be restless, to be bold, and optimistic in bringing our country together in the sacred space of our nation. He told us that we must work to repair, to restore, to heal, to build, and to gain what we have lost. And then he laid out the challenges that we face that will depend on all of us. Overcoming a virus that has taken its toll on so many lives, more than we lost in World War II. And just this week, I learned of two parishioners who lost loved ones to this virus. Felicia Lucas lost her mother, Gwendolyn Johnson, to the virus. And Pat Berkovich lost her husband, John, to it as well. And we send our hearts to you this week. Cannot imagine the pain of that. Many of you have also lost loved ones to this virus that has touched your life and someone that you love. President Biden went on to speak about job losses that many have experienced. And many of you have experienced that as well. He spoke of the challenge to answer a 400-year cry for racial justice, that we must not defer any longer. A cry for survival coming from our planet to address climate change. A cry to address and confront and defeat the rise of political extremism and white supremacy and domestic terrorism. And he ended with a list of challenges by saying that it will require so much more than words. Friends, it will require unity, a coming together, a commitment to go beyond our politics, our religious affiliations, our class assignments, or our race, to do what Jesus did in his sacred space, in ours, this sacred world that God has given us, to cast out that which is disruptive to our very existence as a human family, to model Jesus in how he disrupts the unclean spirit that has caused such disruption in the life of this man in the gospel today. This invasion of his life was out of order. And so are the invasions that President Biden mentioned that divide our human family, that need to be cast out. You may remember Maya Angelou once told a story of hosting a party and hearing someone at her party making a racist remark. She went into the other room, she stopped the music, she went to the closet, she retrieved a coat, and she brought it to the person and she said, "Is this your coat?" And she invited him to leave, disrupting the whole room. She understood that any manifestation of racism reduces one's humanity in what the author Jules Feiffer called little murders. Her guest's remark, it was an invasion on the human spirit of all those at her party. And our poet laureate, Amanda Gorman, shared some powerful words with us as she reminded us of where we are headed and what our work is. She began by saying, "When day comes, we ask ourselves, how do we find light in this never-ending shade?" And you may be wondering that. She reminded us of how we have braved the belly of the beast of a pandemic that continues to take lives, a country that has resurfaced, a white supremacist underground that has come above ground, infiltrating our politics, our systems of policing, our communities, and just about every aspect of our lives. Racism and climate change are a constant threat to the inhabitability of our earth. And so we find ourselves in a pivotal moment in history, being called upon to choose a different direction to move in. And so Jesus in this gospel silences the unclean spirit that threatens this man's life, but he unmutes his own by calling for it to leave. When he casts out that which does not belong, the crowd is amazed. They want to know, what is this new authority? What is this new teaching that they have witnessed? Sometimes we don't even know what's possible until it is modeled for us. To leave the old and to step into something new. And so Jesus models a new way, friends, to use authority. He uses it for freedom, for liberty, and to give the gift of life to this man whose life was compromised and oppressed by the presence of this unclean spirit. So what new authority and teachings about racism, climate change, and white supremacy ideologies are we being called to step into with each other? What is it that we need to learn? As this outgoing spirit struggled and resisted on its way out in the passage, how are we preparing to struggle for justice and resist returning to the status quo of oppressive practices in our own world that reduce our collective humanity? How are we making way for the old ways of functioning in the world to leave so that we can welcome new realities? How are we identifying our own areas of struggle and our own areas of excellence, things that we're good at, so that we can consciously create a connection for the work that lies ahead? You know, when I think about the insurmountable problems that we are facing in our nation, I tend to think of our systems as being broken. And to some extent, they are. But I remember that Amanda Gorman told us in her poem, she said, "We are witnessing a nation that is not broken, but somehow perhaps just not finished." She invited us to lift our gaze to not what stands between us, but what stands before us. To seek harm for none, but harmony for all people. And she reminded us that as we grieve, we grew, and as we hurt, we hoped to never again sow division. What a beautiful dream. What a beautiful vision to where we want to go. The new reality that we're being called to create, ending with a scripture from Micah 4:4 that says, "Everyone will sit under their own vine and under their own fig tree, and no one will be made afraid, for the Lord Almighty God has spoken." Now, Micah spoke these words to Israel, a community promising an end to war and destruction of their lives. The vine and the fig tree served as a promise of peace and security. The Black Lives Matter movement tells us in a chant that they say regularly, "No justice, no peace," recognizing that it will take more than words, but it will take collective work from all of us. It will require that we deepen our moral courage, our knowledge, our stamina around racism, climate change, and the systems that oppress the poor and the vulnerable. We have our work cut out for us. I was reflecting on, as I offered racial justice training this past weekend at Lemoyne College, how they took some real steps in taking command of the unclean spirits in their racial past. They took a look and were reckoning with a history of having the Jesuits own black people as slaves and using a missionary model of white supremacy with the Haudenosaunee people to take their land. It is a hard step, and it's a necessary step, to reconcile with one's past with the hope of creating a better future. But Jesus shows us that it can be done. Jesus took command of the unclean spirit of his world to do just that for this man who was possessed and whose life was changed that day. And it says that the spirits obeyed him. Jesus took charge of his sacred space. And now, friends, it is our time to do the same. As we join Peter Kearney once again in the declaration that all the world is sacred in our eyes. All the world is good. So let's make good on God's promise of the vine and the fig tree as we finish crafting our sacred world.